it's a number of years since I've stood up and given a talk in this room, and I can even, it was to the women's fellowship, it was in those days, wasn't it? Just women. And I think Helen Weir was here then, and perhaps a number of you were. And Brian McCartney's wife was running Women's Fellowship as well at some point. And so it's lovely to be standing here again, but slightly scarier. So I don't know. Why did I choose Faithful One So Unchanging? Well, actually, Roger and I hadn't conferred as to what we were talking on. And last time, you probably remember, Roger spoke on Psalm 89 and about our faithful God. But meanwhile, I'd been thinking, what could I talk to everybody about and share? And I was thinking about a song that I love. It's called Faithful One So Unchanging. Don't worry, I'm not going to try and sing it. Though I almost asked Heather to, but and it just underlines what I wanted to say about a faithful God through all the different seasons of our life. And I thought I would look at seasons. And I love trees, so I thought I would put up one or two pictures of trees as well, because they exemplify, don't they, the different seasons as well. So it's a lovely amalgam, I hope, of testimony and looking at the Lord's faithfulness and goodness. And I've been given this, which I've never operated one of these before. So if things go horribly wrong, you'll know why. Anyway, very kindly, Phil has helped us put things on the overhead, and that's a bit of a first for me as well. So, well, I was thinking I would start with winter, and here's a tree in winter looking rather lifeless, and the days are short and dark, and it's cold. And actually today, it's very wet. I was growing up in a village near Watford. In those days, Croxley Green was a village that indeed had a village green. No longer, I think it's still got the green, but it's a bit more than a village these days. It was a pleasant enough place to be growing up in, and for the most part, I had a reasonably happy enough childhood. Mum and Dad worked very hard to keep us clothed and fed. I had two sisters and a brother, and no doubt because our home was very small, Mum expected us to be outside a lot while she got on with her jobs. We played in the street and in our small garden, and in those days, you could safely play football in the street, or roller skate, or have long involved games of cowboys and Indians, my brother's favourite, or fly down the road on homemade carts. But my favourite place was the lilac tree in the back garden, and I would sometimes take a cushion and a good book and sit in the tree. In a small and crowded house, the tree became a welcome little bit of my very own space. The smell of lilac is still a favourite scent. But why have I started with winter? And I suppose it's because I was growing up without any knowledge of God in my life. I now know that it was rather like the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians and saying about them before they came to know of Christ. It worked. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. One of the things we did as a family was a weekly walk by the Grand Union Canal or through our local woods. We had a favourite oak tree, which, believe it or not, I used to climb. And as we walked in the woods, I was aware from an early age of something bigger than myself. There was beauty in the trees, but the smell of decay from the fallen leaves was somehow disturbing. And with hindsight, it's now easy to see that God was beginning to reveal himself to me. And Paul, in his letter to the Romans, wrote, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." Well, I had a lot of fears as a child. I was afraid of the dark, and especially the trek upstairs to the only toilet. I can remember pressing my back against the wall as I climbed the stairs, just in case a cowboy or Indian popped his head above the upstairs banister and shot an arrow at me. I think I must have had a very vivid imagination, or had watched too many westerns on TV. And I developed another big fear as I was growing up. I began to realize that life one day would come to an end. Surely, what would happen to me then? And surely there must be more to life than work, 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 and then death. The thought of being dead and not existing anymore was quite horrifying and really didn't seem right somehow. And this, unbeknownst to me then, was the same thought expressed by the writer of Ecclesiastes when he says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart." Where could I look for help? My parents never mentioned death. It was a big unmentionable in my family. And it was in the dark, at night, as I tried to get to sleep, that I wrestled with this fear. I was quite literally in the dark. It was when I was 15 or 16, I suddenly decided one Saturday evening to pick up the local paper and look at when and where any local church services were happening on the following day. Mum and Dad were truly alarmed, and my brother and sisters utterly bemused. "What on earth did you want to go to church for?" And in truth, I didn't really know either. I just knew that somehow I might find the answers to my questions there. So next morning, off I went, on my own, as I thought, rather fearful, uncertain, but nonetheless determined to find the missing links to the puzzle. God was at work, but I didn't realize that back then. I didn't know there was a God, but I set out on a voyage of discovery. So we come to spring. Ah, the right picture. I love the beech trees on Southbrook Common in spring. The leaves are so fresh and green as they begin to unfurl. And I only recently realized that young beech leaves actually are edible. and have a pleasant, mild citrus or nutty taste, perfect for salads in the spring. But don't try eating the mature leaves, as apparently they become tough and bitter as they mature, although our guinea pigs loved a crunchy brown beech leaf. Well, spring is a time of great promise, isn't it? Spring was here, and it was my 18th birthday. Time had passed. I had tried taking myself to church, and in fact, I tried more than one church, but still didn't seem to have found the answers to my questions. Was there a God? And what happens when you die? Eventually, I had stopped going as A-levels loomed large and bit into all my spare time. No doubt my family breathed huge sighs of relief. This worrying religious phase appeared to be over. Well, here I was, on my 18th birthday, on a cliff top overlooking the Gower Peninsula. As part of our geography A-level, we were on a field course, and my best friend hadn't been able to come as she had developed a mysterious illness of some sort. I found myself sharing a room with Mary, and now here I was, on a walk with her in one of our untimetabled moments. I didn't know Mary very well, but I did know that she had a reputation for being too good to be true, but she was always kind, and she never gossiped. She looked out across the bay, and she said, "Isn't God wonderful?" Those simple words struck me with a mighty force. Mary spoke as though she knew God. She genuinely seemed to know God. He was real to her, and she seemed to love him. And from that moment on, life was never the same again. We talked, and she showed me her daily Bible notes. And when we got home, she introduced me to her church, St. Andrew's, Chorley Wood, and the vibrant youth group which met each week at the vicarage. And I came to realize who Jesus was and what he came to do. I learned that Christianity is not good advice, but good news. I had much to learn about sin, forgiveness, righteousness and judgment, about counting the cost of becoming one of Jesus' disciples, and about serving him. And Mary and I have gone our different ways. And when we met up a few years after the clifftop experience, she had no recollection of having said anything that could have made such a life-changing result. This helped me to see that God can use our everyday simple encounters for his glory and the extension of his kingdom. Of course, one of the first verses I heard about in those days was John 3:16. Hopefully. Marvellous. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Here was the wonderful answer to my questions about life and death. The joy of knowing that eternal life was indeed a reality for all who put their trust in Christ was a wonderful revelation. I had been looking for God, but in reality, he had been looking for me. The Good Shepherd had been looking for the lost sheep. I had so much to learn and discovered the joy of owning and reading a Bible. And there I learned about the blind man who came to see, whose darkness turned to light, and about Zacchaeus, who desperately wanted to see Jesus and climbed a tree and became Jesus's follower. Spring is an important time of growth in the natural world, and in our walk with the Lord, we might say that we too are growing in our knowledge of and love for God. Just as our tree in spring might be attacked by the naughty bullfinches eating the fruit blossoms, so we must guard against God's word being snatched away by our old enemy, the devil. The parable of the good soils comes to mind. Spring is also a time for spring cleaning, and I needed to begin to allow God into all those dark and dusty bits of my life that needed to be cleansed. How marvellous it is to belong to a church where we take confession so seriously. Week by week, we are reminded to admit that we have once again erred and strayed from God's way like lost sheep, and are then reminded that he is faithful and just and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Day by day, I need to come to him for forgiveness as pride and selfishness and impatience and so many other things creep in and need confessing. And there he stands with pierced hands and outstretched welcoming arms, welcoming the penitent sinner. Getting back to the title of this talk, I was having to learn to look at all times to the faithful one who is so unchanging and call out to him again and again, a bit like the psalmist. I'd much to learn about prayer and the importance of keeping this wonderful new relationship going. I was now on a journey to a new country where I would live forever. That old fear of death had evaporated. I had other fears, of course. I was now the only Christian in our family, and as far as I could tell, in the large extended family. But I did have the marvellous help and support of David, whom I'd met at the youth group, and the rest, as they say, is history. So we come to summer. And here is our oak tree in summer. Did you know that over 2,300 species rely on native oaks in the UK alone? And this includes birds, mammals, fungi, insects and lichens. And it acts as our mini ecosystem and provides food and shelter for an incredible diversity of insects, which in turn feed the birds and other wildlife. Summertime is a very busy time in the oak tree. It was like summer had come for me too, and I knew the Lord as Father, Jesus was my friend and the Holy Spirit an indwelling presence. Life was very busy. We were married in 1973, and over the next few years we were joined by our four children. My parents would sometimes come and stay with us for respite for my mother, who was now caring for my dad due to his worsening multiple sclerosis. Mary, our daughter, had a friend who needed on occasion to come and live with us. Just like the oak tree in summer, our home seemed full of life and activity. David was in a very demanding job, eventually running the courts in North Hertfordshire, and we were serving in the church in various capacities. I found that Leaning into God's promises was a vital part of keeping going. One of the promises from God's word seemed very relevant in this season. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And just recently, David put that verse back up on the blackboard in our kitchen as a very timely reminder to both of us. Putting down roots into his word was vital, but not always easy to achieve in our busy household. The well-known passage from Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 comes to mind. Oh, am I? Well done. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green, has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. Keeping going as a Christian was definitely hard work in this season. And one wise Bible teacher who gave a talk to us young mums or youngish mums, he gave some excellent advice. He suggested that we snack healthily on God's word in this very busy season, but always with an eye to the future, looking forward to that time when we could feast on God's word. Oddly enough, it was in this season, as I went through children's Bible notes with each child at bedtime, that I learned so much. Praying with them, opening God's word together and trying to answer their questions was a huge help. This was one of the healthy snack routines which helped to keep me going. And my daily prayers at this time was for strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Well, it was busy, and I can remember driving up to St. John's school gate to collect Tom after his sports club evening. I quickly loaded his bag of sports equipment into the boot of the car and then drove off, leaving him on the pavement. Fortunately, it was summer and the car window was down, so I heard the rather plaintive cry, "Mom!" and went back for him. I might forget my own son, but Jesus was still the faithful one, so unchanging. And Isaiah puts this rather well. I got the right one. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Clearly, yes. But though she may forget, I will not forget you. Autumn. Here are some giant redwoods. We do have some in the UK as well. They're very large and impressive. They're the largest trees on earth. A surprising fact about these giant trees is that their roots are extremely shallow. You would think that this would make them prone to fall down when struck by strong winds or flood. But the reality is that the roots intertwine together and it forms an incredible stability against wind and flood. In fact, the roots act like a natural web, and the trees hold one another up. Isn't that a great picture of our need for one another in the body of Christ? This is part of God's great design for our lives as Christians. We need that accountability and encouragement from each other if we expect to keep ourselves vertical. Perhaps one of the most testing times in our Christian walk is the autumn season. The gale seems to blow up from nowhere, quite unexpectedly, and actually can happen at any age or stage in our life. Many of you will have known or will be enduring at the present time the effects of a stormy season. Loss of health and loved ones. These are particularly hard to bear. And we need the encouragement and support of one another, don't we? The letter to the Hebrews puts this rather well. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Suddenly, for us, the chill wind of redundancy hit with full force. The government were reorganizing the court system once again. They were axing and amalgamating the areas covered by the magistrates' courts and reducing the number of clerks to the justices required in England. David, along with a couple of hundred other clerks, would no longer have a job. We clung to the Lord's good promises as we wrestled with the daily problems of where to go and what to do next. And we reminded ourselves to copy the psalmist, lift up our eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Not from the hills, actually. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And another verse from the Faithful One song puts it well. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down, and all through the storm your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone. Would our roots remain firm? Praying friends and church family helped us through some dark days, and the Lord was truly the Faithful One, so unchanging. One or two Job's comforters thought it very unlikely that we could sell our house, get a new job, get all the children into good schools, all in time for a September start. In truth, we had a bit more than a little of the doubting Thomas in us too. But those roots did hold us firm, and so we came to Tunbridge Wells and to St. John's, and we moved in on August the 12th. Autumn is also a very beautiful season. Here's another tree in all its autumn splendour. And I need to ask myself in this season, am I growing any more like Jesus? Autumn is a time of mists and mellow fruitfulness. Am I growing good fruit? Paul, in writing to the Galatians, reminds them that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I need to continue to work at becoming more Christ-like. For this, I need the help and support of Christian friends and family. Good Bible teaching, including the marvellous teaching and encouragement we receive, don't we, here at the Seniors Fellowship, and my own Bible reading and prayer times. Just as in the autumn the winds come and the leaves get blown away, I must be vigilant to pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. As Giles, our previous vicar, used to say, we must keep trusting, not rusting. And so, we come back to winter. And our tree is still standing firm, upright, and now etched against a glorious sunset. It may look dead, standing there, roots deep down into the cold soil, but it's just asleep, and actually still harbours a lot of life even in its dormant phase. Hibernating insects find shelter there, as do bats and owls. Tree creepers and other birds search for hibernating insects in the bark, while squirrels and jays rely on the hidden acorns. I hadn't realized that the tree in winter draws fluid from its cells, creating a sugary antifreeze which enables them to survive frost and ice. Trees are amazing, and they point to an awesome creator. I started with winter and that rather lonely, cold, dead-looking tree because it's a good picture of how I felt as a youngster growing up. I had no knowledge that there was a loving Heavenly Father watching over me. Although I was in a family, I still did often feel very lonely. Living with my fears had cast a dark shadow. But now look at this tree in winter. We know that it's still full of life. And even though we may feel we have reached a winter season with its very real challenges as we get older, loneliness, loss, ill health, and many, many more, Jesus Christ, our Saviour, Lord and Good Shepherd, hasn't changed. He is still the same yesterday and today and forever. Perhaps it's now that our support and encouragement for one another is even more important. And I need to continue to read or listen to God's word and to pray for our friends and families, neighbours, and for the world. And in those times when I feel that prayer is almost impossible, I will rely on the love and prayers of others for me. I need too to remind myself that there are others who still haven't heard the good news that God loves them, that Jesus by his death and resurrection has made that relationship with God a living reality. Even in the winter season, in the words of a very old hymn, some may remember this, there's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. Haste to do his bidding, yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus, none but you can do. And there's another lovely verse to this. There's a work for Jesus, precious souls to bring. Tell them of his mercies, tell them of your King. Faint not, nor grow weary, he will strength renew. There's a work for Jesus, none but you can do. And just look at that glorious sunshine behind the tree. What a lovely picture that is of the hope we have of an eternity with our Lord. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As we close, we look at the very last line of the song, Faithful One, So Unchanging. Our hope is in you alone. So shall we just finish with a prayer? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love, and that you are the faithful one, so unchanging. May we remember the ways in which you have helped us in the past, and not forget your loving kindness. In our present trials, would you enable us to have the eyes of faith and trust as we put our hope in you? We lift into your care and keeping those we know who need your loving presence with them. We entrust ourselves this day into your loving care, ever grateful that through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we can look to you as Father and look forward to meeting you in heaven. In his precious name, amen.